Hey, it's that time again. Join WPFW as we move to get fit at the annual 5K run walk for total fitness. Dynamic fitness instructors will be there, free healthy snacks and water, exciting music, boat rides for families, and a double dutch contest and a hand dance contest are all included in the 5K fundraiser. This event takes place at the Bladensburg Waterfront Park, 4601 Annapolis Road in Bladensburg, Maryland, from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Saturday, September 14th. Now, for more details and how to register, visit our website, wpfw.org, or call 202-888-5484. That's 202-888-5484. Meet you at the park on Saturday, September 14th, 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. WPFW, making a better world, one broadcast at a time.
At 89.3 FM, this is member-supported WPFW Washington.
I'm trying to catch up, take it how you want to take it. Left to place in panic, left to take another planet, left to make another statement. XG, baby, say the names right, spell it out so you can learn it. Cause metal ties when it's turning, cause metal fire when it's burning. Can tell we all made it work for us, made it but we had to work for it. Work, 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 so perfect that it hurt, don't it? Surf on them. Right away, right away, right away, cause we had the right away. Bye, 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 flying past and we fly away in the outer space.
Drop top in a coupe outside, wanna hop up out of this plane. Look at my fit right now when I just walked out of my bed. Fix my hair, fix my makeup on the way. Bound to the next stop, bound for the gray, make them bow down to the X. Oh.
A little more than ordinary, honorary, underestimated, leaving all you broke. I'm the judge and jury, I don't wanna hear it. I'm the one they fear and keep it on the low. This is automated, I'm the motivator. Told my haters, y'all more the merrier. Y'all my entertainment, fascinated. I'm just laughing cause it's so hilarious. Little girl with a big mouth, smoke with a big house. Yeah, big watch on the wrist now, I just started that flow now, just now. Put a little more down for the bus down. Went on tour, went a bus into the bus down. Everything custom now, fans rushing now. Security had to push me out.
48 laws of power, let her go with a big motor on a kid though. Watch me rip though, watch me snap like Motorola flip phone. I don't wanna hit you this hard on an intro, bring that bounce like 6-4. Find me in Tokyo, rapping in a skirt, are you catching my drift though?
Woke up looking like this, so don't get under my skin. Woke up looking like this. Woke up looking like this, so don't get under my skin. Woke up looking like this.
Flex, go easy, tag it up, graffiti. Drop a pin, the addy, that's where I go. Rip the show and that's all I know. I'm supervision, y'all just built on superstitions. Watch me do everything, everywhere, all at once, all the time, all around the world.
Woke up looking like this, so don't get under my skin. XGALX, and that's the name of the shit. Damn mother, mother wolf, so don't make fun of my kids. We all family, stand tall now, so don't talk down to my kid. Hey, welcome to the party, floating like it's Mardi Gras, yeah. Call me Harvey, but I'm not your Barbie doll, yeah. Party, party, ha, loving Adam when we blast away. Black on black on black, outfits all packed away, packed away.
C to the LC, oh, that's me, Lord have mercy. Young queen, better act like an honey. Young blow, but I'm built like an OG.
Yeah.
Gotta lift weight for the bags.
Yes.
Looking real fit for the mags.
Yes.
Animal wolf in the pack.
Yes.
So it's just wolf in the tag.
Woke up looking like this, so don't get under my skin. Woke up looking like this. Looking like this, so don't get under my skin. Woke up looking like this.
Okay, welcome to Inside Out. We are back. And welcome, 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 Bianca, my lovely co-host. How are you?
Hello, I'm doing good. How are you, Morgan? We are back.
We back. So thought I'd give us a little oomph to come back in since we have such an awesome guest today. So I'm excited to get into all things. And so for those who don't know us, I'm Mimi Magic and Bianca, my lovely co-host, and we are two of the wonderful Inside Out Collective. And Inside Out Radio illuminates and celebrates the rich diversity that is the LGBTQIA+ experience. Our groundbreaking show has aired since 2008 and is DC's only show of its kind on the FM dial, and one of only a handful in the country. As the name implies, we take you inside this community to look at everything from pop culture to politics through an LGBTQIA+ lens. We are proud to be part of the legacy of cutting-edge public affairs programming on WPFW, the home of Jazz and Justice Radio. Inside Out airs every Monday at 6 p.m. on 89.3 FM and WPFWFM.org. Check us out on iTunes if you don't catch us at 6 p.m. on Mondays for the recording, the podcast. Play it at your leisure and bump to us when you can. So, Bianca, we have a wonderful guest. I am so excited. I booked this beautiful person about a month ago because I was eager. And, you know, when I'm eager, I want things done. So definitely, definitely excited for this conversation. And you yourself, how's everything going, Bianca, in the world of Bianca?
Doing good. I mean, I echo what you said, Mimi. I am very excited about our guests and learning more about our guests. I think our topic or our theme for tonight is very fitting. You know, we're going to be talking about leadership and legacy. You know, this is something that we talked about in our spaces. So it would be really exciting to hear from our guest, you know, her leadership and as well as the legacy that they wanted to bring in. So I'm ready to get started.
Okay. Because she bad. So we're going to go ahead and bring her in. This is wonderful, Dequise Montgomery, dear friend, colleague, and looks like she's rocking it out in D.C. So, hi, Dequise. How are you?
Hey, ladies. How are y'all doing?
Good. And I am living for the Jackie O look. You are slaying. Yes.
I try.
Okay. Some people try, others succeed. So there you are. Okay. So, Dequise, so for our listeners and other guests that are not familiar with you and your work, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you identify, who you are, and what's going on in the world of Dequise.
Yeah, definitely. As you stated, my name is Dequise Montgomery. Pronouns are they, she. And so for me, what's really going on in my world right now is just, as you stated, a lot of leadership opportunities. So with inside my organization at M&T Bank, as well as inside of the chamber, the Equality Chamber of DC's foundation. So taking a lot of opportunities to really do leadership for all, but specifically wanting to focus on our LGBTQ plus community. I feel that a lot of times there aren't a lot of people that we can reach out to that may be open about who they are and being their authentic selves. So making myself available to the community and anyone else that's interested in supporting the work that we're all doing to create our legacy and also be the best leaders that we can be. That's pretty much my focus right now. So a lot of the things that I'm doing is, of course, going back to school. So I'll be completing my master's degree actually in 2 months. I have less than 8 weeks. Yes. Super excited about that. Gaining additional education through certifications, through the SHRM certification, DEI certifications. And then also just making sure that I'm aligning myself with the right platforms like you all and other platforms and opportunities that give me an opportunity to give back.
Well, if you don't know her, now you know. That's just a taste. That's just a taste. That's just a taste. And so how did you get started in your career with mentorship and MNT?
Okay. Yeah, it all actually started. So I don't know if you all knew this, but my initial degree in undergraduate was music performance, specifically flute. So you see my music stand in the background. Yes. I was practicing earlier today. But as a college student and a musician, those two typically aren't the wealthiest people in the world. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, I dealt with some homelessness, some unfortunate financial situations going through my initial undergraduate journey. And so while I was working on that degree, I decided to transition over to English just to complete my degree at the University of South Carolina. However, while I was working my junior year, I decided, hey, what other way can I really learn how to be financially successful and provide those tools and resources to my family, friends, and community? And so I applied for a job as a part-time teller at Wells Fargo Bank back in 2011. Can't believe that was so long ago.
No, not that long, dear.
And so I started working part-time as a teller, worked my way up the ranks, you know, did pretty much all of the roles in retail banking, from teller to supervisor of teller, platform banker, assistant branch manager, and so forth. And now, of course, most recently, I've transitioned into our HR department supporting our retail banking clients. And so, again, what really probed me to go into that role was, again, finding those resources and tools and really understanding how to create financial wealth and generational wealth. And I have been lucky to have mentors, clients, peers who have all coached and helped develop who I am today. And so I'm now able to give that wealth of knowledge to others in our community. Some of the things that I've done with MNT is financial literacy courses in the lower income neighborhoods and communities, and also being able to speak to LGBTQ plus business owners on how to create success in the business world. And that's a lot of the reason why I'm a part of the Equality Chamber of DC now, is because that's our focus, is making sure that we provide support, tools and resources, and sometimes financial support to our community to help them be able to create that success.
I love that. And, you know, and I love you for it, because seeing somebody in leadership at the ECF is just so amazing, you know, and definitely, you know, sitting in a room back in 2019, trying to formulate what would now become something that you are spearheading, and with your wealth of knowledge, your experience, you know, your attractiveness of being. But it's wonderful to see, you know, a trans woman of color really taking the hold of something and, you know, being able to really actualize something that, you know, was slow at first and there was a lot of, you know, missteps, but to see where you all are at now and seeing you, you know, behind a lot of the success of it just really warms my heart, because was something I didn't know I would be able to see in the way I see it. So it is just so awesome. And this is Black excellence. And this is something that, you know, Bianca and I love to promote on this show, especially, you know, with us working with Trans Pride. We really, you know, try and do the same of uplifting community, going into different areas. But I definitely always make a point to say that we need to always highlight others who are doing the work and trickling it down in the best way. Mm-hmm. And you definitely are one of those examples that I have been fortunate to across. So definitely kudos to you and a bravissimo. Just to give you some music. Yes, some music. F is right. Bravissimo.
Absolutely. I mean, Mimi, I could not agree more. And, you know, Dayquiz Tyson had an opportunity to talk about her diversity of accolades in her bio, and I just really appreciated the diversity of, you know, your both personal and professional journey, right? And this is exactly why, you know, we really are grateful for the station to kind of have this platform and spaces to uplift, you know, members of our community and really highlight all of the work that they're doing. I mean, you know, we're always talking about, like, oftentimes, you know, what we've seen and what we've heard from members of our community is it's very focused on one thing versus, like, the entirety of their transition journey. So you kind of represent the diversity of your experiences from, you know, finance, literacy, to music, to entertainment, to your leadership, to your advocacy and community engagement, you know, really represented that there's more to who we are as individual.
Amen.
Right, it's not just identity. And I just love that. And we're so grateful that we're able to, like, really uplift that into this platform.
Aww. Thank you guys.
Completely. Yes. Oh no, we was going to love on you. We was going to love
on
you.
Yeah.
This and this is sisterhood right here. So, and
I then, love it.
Now, why did you feel it was so important to become an advocate and a mentor within the LGBTQ plus community?
The advocacy piece, I think, is because a lot of the times, I think it's just a misunderstanding of who our community is and who we are as people. And so I'm always here to educate anyone that is willing to learn and wants to make that mental shift to truly be accepting of all people, regardless of their backgrounds. I think it's super important because a lot of times there are things that I don't know, but I think the smartest people in the world are people who don't feel they know everything and who are always willing to learn. And that's something, as you can tell, you know, from degrees to certifications, education is super important to me. I've always been passionate about it. And I think that is also the key to our own success, is being knowledgeable about things. So that's the advocacy part. And also just being the voice for the community. I think I'm really good at being a great communicator, an effective communicator, because everyone can communicate, but are you really being an effective communicator? From that standpoint, knowing that's a strength of mine, I utilize that to try to be an advocate for our community as well. When it comes to the mentoring part, you know, growing up for me, I had lots of mentors, but none of them were a part of the LGBTQ plus community. Mm-hmm. So I luckily, you know, have an opportunity now myself to be that for another trans girl of color, another member of the LGBTQ plus community, to let them know a lot of the stories we hear in the news and in the media are sometimes negative, unfortunately, about our community. But there is another side to this. And I'm a part of that other side, just as well as any of you all on the call. We are a part of that side that has created success as trans women and have been able to bring others along on the ride with us to that success as well. So those are my reasons for doing what I do.
Yeah. I know. I mean, I think we need more than an hour for this conversation.
Yeah, we're going to have a deep to be continued.
Right. We're going to have, like, a part two, right, in this conversation. But I want to touch on that because mentorship that you had mentioned, because as you shared, many of your mentors were not part of the LGBT community. So now you're striving to be that mentor to a member of our community, whether they identify within the trans experience or part of the queer community. In your experience, do you see kind of, like, you know, similarities and differences and level of importance of somebody having a mentor who is, you know, a cis community versus a queer community?
I think mentors come in all different shapes and forms and different seasons for us too, because one mentor may be great for preteen or, you know, pre-adult phases, but maybe they're not the right mentor for you in your professional career or something. So I never try to limit myself to who I network with or who I mentor or who I allow to mentor me. But I do think there is an importance to having someone that have maybe walked the similar life that you have, because there may be things that they learned earlier on that, hey, maybe this isn't a great way to take advantage of this opportunity. Maybe look at doing things this way. So I definitely think everyone can bring knowledge to you. I think it's mostly about who you can feel comfortable being vulnerable with, who you feel comfortable, you know, understanding who you are as a person and being okay with receiving criticism. I think those are some of the most important things when it comes to being a mentor and also mentoring or being a mentee. But I definitely think parts of me say yes, you definitely want to have someone from the community at some point in your journey for that development opportunity. But I don't think it's necessary that it specifically has to be a member of the community.
I love that. And, you know, you hit a lot of gems there. One, you know, you don't know everything. And I feel like as young people, you know, we go into things thinking, oh, well, this is where we're at, right? And it's like, well, if there's people that are before you, right? Which is why a lot of the younger generation suffers in job, you know, security and things like that, because they try and hop to who they're seeing and not actually going through the gradual education of the job experience or the wealth of knowledge you gain over time. So it's hard for you to tell a person who's older, more successful, or has done certain things, you know, like, oh, no, or this and that, because you should be very open. And, you know, I've definitely prided myself on that going into the chamber, which was a lot of people older than me and, you know, now a lot of people of color. Definitely wasn't no idea of a trans woman being in charge at the time, you know. And so I pride on sitting and listening and saying, oh, this is how we navigate this. I know how to run my business, but now I know how to engage with people outside of my bubble and not become arrogant in reference to what I feel is the capped version of me. And, you know, that part is definitely a big boom that you said of just taking in knowledge, also accepting criticism, because a lot of times people don't look at when someone knows the answer, why would you push it back? That's actually ego over acknowledging that you don't know something and could actually obtain that information for yourself. And, you know, a lot of people think it's only therapy that, you know, you're supposed to kind of sit into this thing and drill this stuff down and evaluate your life and awareness. But it's really those who come before you that you see successful. I always say the just hollowest conversation is when somebody says, I really like your hair. Where did you get that done? And then you go, oh, I got it done at such and such. And then they say, oh, well, are they any good? Well, that was redundant because you liked the work. I shared it with you, but your own cynicism of just being this kind of person says, are they any good? Like, well, okay, good enough for you to ask. So, you know, it's just kind of like one of those examples for people who maybe not following so completely, but so we got to break it down, darling. But, you know, it's just one of those funny things. And so meeting you, everything you're saying is true. And, you know, people that are very authentic don't usually have skeletons or loopholes you have to go into, which is why I see you in a, in the legacy part of a lot of what you're in, because I've seen it where there was no understanding of that, right? It was the same type of individual, same, you know, ethnic, non-diverse situation. And, you know, some man just telling you something. And now you have, you know, this beautiful trans woman who shows elegance, compassion, and a way through for other people. I always said I wanted to always leave the door open so others could enter. And it's so wonderful to see somebody highly educated and intelligent be able to give more premise on that and allow more influx of people to come in and be able to navigate who they are in this space. So kudos again to you. Like, I'm just living for you. I'm a fan. Like, I'm a fan.
I'm a fan.
Because when we met down in Mississippi Road, you know, it was very impromptu. And I loved it because we were both wearing crop tops. And I was like, oh, well, you know, great. You know, I guess this is the alumni outfit, right? And so speaking of our community, where do you think the trans community sits within 2024?
Yeah, I definitely think that we are in a much better space than years before, for sure.
Correct.
But I also believe that we have a ways to go. You know, recently I went back home down south and it was just amazingly shocking how different the culture is there compared to here. You know, I was, I don't want to say targeted, but there were just some specific things that because of who I am, I experienced that maybe some others may not experience. So I definitely think we have a ways to go. I do have hope that the generation before us, as crazy as they may be, are a little bit more accepting of our community and more engaged as allies to me compared to some of the older generations. And I think that's just because of what they were taught growing up, you know, the experiences they may have had with certain people from our community. Again, everyone is not the same. But I definitely think we have a ways to go as far as our rights. I feel like we have a ways to go as being accepted, not only outside of the LGBTQ plus community, but with inside our community as well. Because I do believe there are some challenges in our own community that we have to recognize and be able to overcome as well. But I am proud to say that I think the trans women before us definitely paved a way for us. And now we have to, in return, pave that way for generations to come.
Yeah, the elevation of the sacrifice. And and you know, that's something, you know, often, you know, Bianca and I are focusing on is what is the elevation after the sacrifice? We have the elders who come into, you know, the events that, you know, we're curating, and you know, we know where it started, you know, from a church basement to now, you know, we're at the Moxie or the MLK Library, and, you know, we're celebrating a great cause. And, you know, and that's why I always, you know, am weary about like who calls themselves allies to our community, because when you poach and pick certain things within our community, you do keep us down. You know, whether that comes to interpersonal relationships, you know, when it comes to work relationships, whatever, because it's not when we're there that you make a big stink about somebody in a certain kind of way. It's when we're not in those actual places and, you know, dating counterparts and things like that, you know, the hiding of certain things, or, you know, creating what I would say terror in somebody's mind that already has to deal with so much. It's like, keep that over there, because you know, we're not objectified, you know, the way that you would like us to want to be, unless, you know, that's being portrayed that way, then fine, you know, accept it for where that person is there. But, you know, on this call here, hop high and come correct, because we're not going to dwindle down something to be on a low frequency, because you know, we know the first introduction, which is what I always preach on this show to trans women, usually is something in pornographic nature. Nobody is groomed or under, and I don't want to say groomed in the way that people are going to catch on to for some kind of, you know, mess, but groomed just in grooming, like your hair and your quality and coiffed of learning something over time that's healthy and how to treat someone. We are not 3 to 4 years old saying, oh, this person is trans and I would like them to be with me, so now I know how to treat this person, right? So a lot of times I like to say, separate the desire of something you're clicking on to the desirability to be with a person who is different in this world, their mind, who they are, their safety. Don't dare bring unsafe situations when the world can be unsafe as well. So, you know, what is the benefit of being with this individual? You know, so that's why I said, I am careful of who's allies now, because allyship is not what they think it is.
Not at all.
And I actually want to spend a little bit of time on that, because, you know, we've all have our experience of being an ally. You know, how do we define ally and allyship? And I know we have you know, in our circle of individuals that are close to us are true allies, right? So, but for the sake of our listeners, right, you know, who may or may not be familiar with, you know, ally and allyship, can you share a little bit as to like, what does it mean for you to be an ally, be in allyship?
Yeah, I think for me, being an ally means consistently wanting to learn how to be the best support system for a minority community or community that is of the BIPOC. Like, this isn't a one-time thing. You have to consistently and at all times, whether in our presence or outside of our presence, be an ally. And I, you know, myself, I'm an ally to other communities as well, like our Asian Pacific community. I'm an ally to our lesbian community, because I'm not, of course, a part of that specific community, but I still in our Latinx community. So there are so many other communities, especially being within the banking industry. I feel like we touch on all different cultures and communities. And so for me, I always try to be a support, which means understanding history, understanding cultural references, understanding different things that make who a person or a culture may be, and making sure that the bottom line is I always respect that. And I think if people can learn to just be more respectful at all times, that ultimately can develop into a love for someone. So I definitely think being an ally is being consistent, being knowledgeable, and just standing up for the rights of any human.
Correct. And, you know, and understanding where you are as an individual coming into the bubble of, you know, because when you come in and you're disruptive and, you know, all these things, it's like, okay, you're bringing your trauma. And mm-hmm. at the end of the day, these people have enough. So, you know, are you alleviating? Are you really there for the Ravens? So like, you know, I feel like that's a focus really for us to be able to uplift in our community too, because we all know that when communities are, you know, sometimes seen as low frequency or not treated as high, a lot of people get in and disrupt and detract from the work that this individual is doing, because it mm-hmm. takes a lot of work to transition and become comfortable with who you are mentally before physically. And mm-hmm. you don't need any more mental angst or outside influences. And that's why when people drill it down to, oh, you got to look like this, or you're this over here. Now we have a lot of the gay community that's coming in, and, you know, we just be real. The time of like Will and Grace type gays compared to like where we are now, you know, can sometimes feel very pushed out with a lot of the nuances that, you know, our community brings, because now we are being seen in certain areas. We are now in positions of power. Sound familiar, people, when it comes to them saying somebody's a DEI hire? So there's just levels. And you know, and honestly, to upset, I was accused of being a DEI initiative when I was the first trans woman of color to be in all the positions, right? Mm. And I just said, well, that's pretty funny, because, you know, this person at that time hadn't really had a deeper conversation with me, knew what I had done or achieved. They were just like, oh, well, you looked really good, and they just wanted to put this in because it did. And I was like, sweetie, this was way before a lot of this was even being talked about. So if you weren't in those rooms with those people who actually saw a lot of the changes that were being made and implemented, because I had ideas of how, you know, ethnic properties of life when it comes to social situations are Ivy League, and everybody's like, you know, that's kind of funny to me, and it's baffling, but yet that's why they proceeded to want maybe me to have other things to say. So, you know, I looked at that as a sad moment for that individual. I didn't really take it as this really is true about me. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we have to do that in our community, is this isn't really true about me, because you may be searching for someone that you feel is down bad because you want to feel up good. But the mm-hmm. truth is, it's really reversed. So, well,
no, I was just going to share in that two things. One, that's sometimes the experience that I've had when I've been asked to come be on a panel or, mm-hmm. you know, do interviews and things, is that they want the negative sides of mm-hmm. being trans to mm-hmm. kind of come out. But fortunately for me, that hasn't been my experience. So mm-hmm. I can't talk to those specifics. However, I do know how some of my other sisters have been treated and experiences that they've had. So I can only, you know, talk from that perspective. But personally, you know, I've always tried to make sure that anyone I'm letting in my circle or in my sphere is going to be someone that's going to be respectful and show me love. And if that's not the case, I can love people from a distance and pray for you. But outside of that, I don't necessarily have to invite you into my world. Right. And then the second thing I was going to say, you touched on, I think is really good, is you have to be intentional in how you're being an ally. Because sometimes your intention may be to be, for instance, I'll just share this story, someone that may recently have come out trans or a part of the LGBTQ+ community, and they have an ally friend or family member who's like just making sure everyone knows. But sometimes that you should allow that person to have that opportunity to communicate that, because you don't know what the negative aspects of that can be. So being intentional, I think, is a huge part of being an ally as well.
Correct. And especially when it comes into a relationship, because it's better for people to sometimes get to know your partner in the understanding than to have a target, you know, at first, mm-hmm. because people are biased, especially, you know, people have come before us, like we said. But we will be back with this wonderful conversation after a quick break, and we will be back with Inside Out.
Can't keep up with the ways that you change your mind. If you can't keep up and break my heart to pieces, somebody else gon' sweep it up, sweep it up, fall down, sweep it up. If you can't keep up, on the hand is still harder with ya. Don't let your next mistake be the one that teach ya. Somebody else gon' sweep it up, sweep it up, fall down, sweep it up. If you can't keep up, somebody else gon' sweep it up, sweep it up. Your name if no one called you in, and you forget the use of every argument. I thought I was selfish, but you take the cake. Come alive at night and I always take the bait. But you, something about you I can't let go of, and you make me question all I know of. Should have been my baby, what's the hold up? Just tell me when you're gonna grow up. Oh, oh. 2 years and still I see you and get stage fright. 2 years I can't lie, wish that we were on the same side. My main line, trying to save you like daylight. I don't wanna leave your love behind. Can't keep up with the ways that you change your mind. If you can't keep up and break my heart to pieces, somebody else gon' sweep it up, sweep it up, fall down, sweep it up. If you can't keep up, on the hand is still harder with you. Mistake, we don't want to teach ya. Somebody else gon' sweep it up, fall down, sweep it up. If you can't keep up, somebody else gon' sweep it up, fall down, sweep it up. Better clean this up. I can't read you, I can't leave you. You know I want you, but I don't need you. First time was a movie, what's a sequel? Deep down, I'm just trying to get equal. Yeah, yeah. 2 years and still I see you and get stage fright. 2 years I can't lie, wish that we were on the same side. My main line, trying to save you like daylight. I don't wanna leave your love behind. Can't keep up with the ways that you change your mind. If you can't keep up and break my heart, somebody else gon' sweep it up, sweep it up. Somebody else gon'.
Okay, and we are going to sweep it up with Inside Out. Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, this is Inside Out, LGBTQ plus talk radio. And I am here, Mimi Magic, with my wonderful co-host, Bianca, and our absolute amazing guest, Daquise Montgomery. Welcome back, ladies.
That's right. Hello, amazing, amazing for sure. I mean, we're already planning on like part two, maybe part three.
Right, right.
We'll just close the year.
Yeah, we're gonna just jump it in. We're gonna jump it in. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, so as Mimi said, we also would love to hear from our listeners, right? So if you have any questions for us or for our guests, please do give us a call at 202-588-0893. You know, we'd love to hear from you. You've been part of our series and our show, so we definitely wanted to engage with you. But I want to get back to our really amazing conversations and wanted to touch on a couple of things that, you know, we already shared before we get on a break. I think they quiz earlier, you were mentioning about there's different types of like mentorship and mentoring. And I think to your point earlier, but you shared that oftentimes, you know, many of our younger siblings just wanted to connect with somebody who may have gone through their transition journey and kind of learn from that experience, which also can be a mentorship opportunity, right? And just in a different level. And I love that, you know, because it doesn't, oftentimes when we're thinking of like mentorship, it's very, you know, formal, you know, very professional, right? But there are different levels of, you know, we've shared already. And I also love to touch on what you shared earlier on the diversity of our community, even within our trans experience, right, of all of those identities. And, you know, reading your bio, I connected immediately, well, to so many things, but one in particular is the employee resource group and the business resource group that you have available in your organization, right? Which is something that actually was part of like my transition journey in my company. Being part of the employee resource group, you know, have definitely helped me kind of come out at work and, you know, live my authentic self. And I think it's important for our listeners, especially for our members of our community who are in the workforce or looking into, you know, getting into the workforce, is asking this oftentimes questions that we don't ask when we go for an interview, right? And what is the community that is available there for me so I can see myself not only represented in the organization, but there's a community within the organization to kind of start building those relationships. So yep. I just love that, right? Which then kind of takes me to like our next question to you, right? Which is around, we love that, you know, we have all these like supporters and successes in the organizations that we're in now or even before, but we also know that there are some challenges and difficulties that many of us, maybe including ourselves, have experienced, right? So whatever you're comfortable sharing with us and our listeners, what are some of the difficulties you face as a trans woman of color in the industry, in your industry over the years?
Yeah, more recently, there hasn't been many challenges based on that, at least that I've seen. But definitely initially in my career, I can remember my manager saying, "You'll never make it up the ladder dressing the way you dress." And I was just like, oh, okay. So education and being successful and, you know, whatever my job is, isn't what matters. It matters how I dress, because my clients all love my outfit. So not quite sure why that would change anything. But it unfortunately took me leaving that organization to go to another to really understand and feel supported in being my authentic self. That's one of my favorite things about M&T Bank. And one of the main reasons I think I will retire from this organization when that time comes is because people truly appreciate the culture within our organization, not even just at the, you know, customer service level, but I mean from the top down, from our CEO all the way down to whatever, you know, entry level positions we have. People really respect the culture and each other within our organization, which I think is amazing. And to be quite frank, M&T is probably the reason that I'm able to be my most authentic self professionally. It was until M&T that I was able to fully be myself at work. And of course, now I work from home. But even then, when I was in office, everyone has always treated me properly, respectfully, used my pronouns that I've asked them to utilize, and of course, based on who I am. So luckily, that hasn't been such a negative experience for me. But to be honest, I really do think it's the spirit that I carry. The same things that I'm expecting from someone is what I'm willing to give. So when I meet people, I'm very respectful. I will give you the shirt off of my back. You know, that's just how I was raised in the Deep South. But I think a lot of my experience has been because I really do try to always be a genuine person and to be a respectful person to others. And the Southern hospitality part of me always wants to accommodate people around me as well. So I think some of those characteristics about myself has helped me to be able to glide through this process, you know, pretty smoothly for the most part.
I love that. I mean, I love that you touch on, you know, not just being accepting, you know, us members of the organization, but how the organization also represent, you know, the people that works within that, right? Because, you know, when you are in your authentic self, I mean, all of the great and amazing things just kind of trickle up, right? You know, you thrive in the environment, you know, you push to become better and successful, not just an individual in the organization, but then the organization being successful as well, because you have thriving employees who are really not only doing the job, but living their authentic self, right? And I think it's important for our listeners to kind of, you know, hear that from you, because, you know, when we think of like Ally, it's not just what we've shared already, it's that and more, right? It's that and how are we creating that level of trust and comfortability to the person that we are being an ally to, whether they're in that space or whether they're not in that space. And that just like takes you a really, really long way in your
community. So I agree. No, it really does.
Completely. And, you know, and speaking about genuinity and, you know, who you are authentically as a person, which does, you know, transcend to others and everybody around, you know, I definitely can understand that outlook, you know, starting a company and saying that, you know, I didn't need to be pushed with DEI or people telling me how to treat people. I just will formulate a company that I'm going to lead it from the top because of how I was treated for so long. And and I will be darned if, you know, people sometimes don't know who they're talking to on the phone, but it's really great to know that I can, you know, swiftly maneuver what's going on and bring it back to that individual with them even being alarmed that they're talking to somebody to which they would have perpetrated against. It's pretty amazing. And how they backpedal, you know, when they're not no longer the bully. And so for those, and so successful woman to successful women in general, for those seeking partnership with a successful trans woman, what are areas of relationship that you think is important to highlight?
Yeah, I think first, for me, this is typically how I build rapport. And this is what I tell my mentees and, you know, anyone who comes to me for career advice or business advice is really understand who you're working with and build that rapport up front. So for me, it's finding commonalities. You know, previous to my HR life, I was in the branches as a branch manager and a business banker. So a lot of times I would ask about, you know, sports, who's your favorite team, or where are you from originally? So finding those commonalities first and building from there, I think is truly important. But you also want to make sure that the characteristics of someone that you want to do business with is someone that has a proven record, track record. They have been able to create success and not, you know, not to say not to work with startups or, you know, first-time business owners, but really understand, okay, well, you're starting a business. What was your previous life prior to this? And were you able to create success there? Because strategy is going to be different in whatever you're doing. However, the person that is creating the strategy and overcoming the challenges is who you want to really understand. So I think that's important, making sure that they're strategic, making sure that they're good with customer service and follow-up, because at the end of the day, your customers are who make your business. And if they're not happy, your business is probably not going to be successful. And then also making sure that you are with someone who is naturally a team player and a leader. I think it's important to have both of those in one, because it's great to have someone that's a team player, but what happens when you're out for a sick day or there's a family emergency? Is that a person, a business partner that you can count on to continue to lead as well? So I think those are some of the characteristics that I typically look for in someone. And to be honest, someone that's also centered with a higher power. I, for one, believe in God. That's just who I am. And so I find commonalities in people who also believe in him or in a higher being, just knowing that they have a center, a moral compass. And that's important too, because you don't want to work with just anyone. I've seen really bad business partners come into my office to close out accounts before because of horrible relationship building skills that they had. So I definitely think it's important to build that rapport, understand commonalities, and find ways that you both can benefit from one another, not just a one-way street. It's a two-way street in any relationship, whether that's business, intimately, family, friends. It's a two-way street, and one person should not have to foot the bill for everything when it comes to time and the necessary things to create a successful business.
Right. Quality, integrity, and relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because mm-hmm. you definitely don't want the seesaw effect, and you're always the one sitting on the ground because, mm-hmm. you know, it does become quite taxing. But yeah, mm-hmm. no, I definitely agree with all of that. You know, I definitely, you know, mentor the people that like work for me and people that I've trained, you know, for free, I should add, because I wanted to, they had the opportunities. You know, hindsight, I'm like, wow, you know, but at the end of the day, it's like, I always try to instill that understanding of how it is to be in relationship with the client, because you don't want to mar those things, and you don't want for something silly to overcome the quality or your longevity. Because see, people don't really realize that you might do something one time or whatever it may have been in one company or situation, but then later that same individual could be in that networking meeting or the next boss or the next whatever. Mm-hmm. And it does circle around, because God is funny about doing those things. Everything comes to light, darling. Well, you know, and it's funny because, you know, I worked for my father for a very long time, and, you know, and then I separated from that, and he did try and destroy my business. It was very negative. Mm. You know, I do have a Netflix worthy story of things, but at the end of the day, about a month ago, I ran into a client that I had never met, you know, a whole organization of people. And, it was about three of them. And, you know, the woman was like, oh, it's nice to meet you, whatever. And then the guy said, oh, you know, it's like, we've been working together since you and your dad were competing. And I had enough quality and clout to say, oh, wow, you've been holding that in for 9 years. And, you know, and then. And I said, oops, shady, you know, and I said, but I also answered who, because that's not really, you know, what I'm going to dive into, but it did re-inform me that something that I did not know people were thinking about could have superseded me if the quality of my work was terrible or that mm-hmm. mistake was made, because that would have velcroed the situation and I would have just been whatever they said, and it would have been that, and there is no coming back from certain things. And so and that is with relationship too, in any kind of situation. Now I want to ask this last question before we have to leave you, unfortunately, but what would you tell your younger self today that you wish you knew back then?
Girl, it's gonna be okay.
Oh, yes.
Stop stressing. You are only so, you know, whatever age I'm talking to, but I have just always been a person that is thinking 10 plus years out from where I am now. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's a blessing and a curse, because it's a blessing being strategic. I'm doing things now that will affect me in the long run. But then it also creeps into my mental, and I get anxiety, and I'm worried about tomorrow when tomorrow's not even promised. So I would just tell myself that you're going to be good. And I would, you know, my younger self to my older self would probably say, I'm very proud of you. You are doing the thing, girl.
And I love that. And, you know, I was talking to my hairdresser today, and she said, it's amazing the blessings that you wish for years prior that you're not accepting you have today. And mm-hmm. a lot of people will squander those things, and you can't always help those individuals, but you can help yourself to understand today is a new day. Change is one thing that we can control, and growth mm-hmm. is superseding beyond us. So can you tell people about and what yes. website they should go to, and then we definitely. Are.
Yes, so the next event that I will be hosting will be at the City Club in DC on Thursday, September 19th, I believe is the date.
Correct.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, I just started
at, yeah. at 6 p.m. It's a free event, but please register. You can go to the Equality Chamber's website, Equality Chamber DC, and you can register there. If you're looking to follow me, my handle on Instagram is Chic and Casual Me. That's C-H-I-C, the letter N, C-A-S-U-A-L-M-E, Chic and Casual Me. So yeah, I would love to see you all out at this event. It's is promoting our Thrive in Harmony project, which is basically focused around DEI initiatives and creating safe workplaces for our DMV small business owners or any business owner that's looking to create that strategy that may not have it or looking to rework. Basically, it would be different learning experiences, and we would come in and create that experience for the team. And so I'm really looking forward to shouting out this wonderful program. We're going to have Ashley Brundage, who is a trans woman as well from Florida. She's actually running for House of Representatives. She's the Democratic Party and a close friend of mine. And then also Racine. I'm sure you all know who Racine is. Very popular member of LGBT. Right. So she will be hosting the event. So we're looking forward to it. There will be drinks and food. Anytime someone lets me know drinks are there, I'm always there. So I believe the first drink is free, and any additional drinks after that would be at cost. And the great thing is anything that you purchase that night will go towards the foundation and our Thrive in Harmony project. So really excited about it.
Well, we love it and we love you. Thank you so much for being here. We have got to sign off, but we'll see you there. And we, to our listeners, we hope you got a lot out of this. And if you didn't, listen to us next time, second Monday of the month. And we love you and we enjoy you. Have a good evening.
Have a good one.
Hey, it's that time again. Join WPFW as we move to get fit at the annual 5K run walk for total fitness. Dynamic fitness instructors will be there, free healthy snacks and water, exciting music, boat rides for families, and a double dutch contest and a hand dance contest are all included in the 5K fundraiser. This event takes place at the Bladensburg Waterfront Park, 4601 Annapolis Road in Bladensburg, Maryland, from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Saturday, September 14th. Now, for more details on how to register, visit our website, wpfw.org, or call 202-888-5484. That's 202-888-5484. Meet you at the park on Saturday, September 14th, 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. WPFW, making a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Are you passionate about eradicating air pollution? Would you like to participate in the Environmental Justice Artivist Fellows Transformative Community Art Project in Ward 5, Washington, D.C.? We're seeking Ward 5 professional and amateur photographer portraits that capture the theme of what clean air in Ward 5 should be. Selected submissions will be featured in the Up in the Air mural design, which will be installed in a prominent Ward 5 location in fall 2024. Submission is free. The deadline is next Saturday, September 14th. Submissions can be made at socialartandculture.info.
School is back. Do you need an after-school program for your young one? The Words, Beats, and Life Academy is enrolling for students from third grade up to young adults, with programming weekdays, 3:30 to 6 p.m., offering classes in hip-hop performing and visual arts, as well as business and arts leadership, with access to professional teaching artists, equipment, and professional teaching artists, equipment and resources. Located in Columbia.